Of course, it had been made tactfully but firmly, very firmly, clear to him that he was to keep his mouth shut about how long Vicar Elaine Magware had totally ignored his own warnings about what Caleb Armagh's heavy, gun-armed galleons had done to the Royal Dolaran Navy's galleys in the battles of Rock Point and Crag Reach.
"As I'm sure you're aware, the Captain General ordered a major shift in our building plans 6 months ago," the First Counselor said. "It took some 5 days for that change in direction to be integrated into our own efforts here in Garath." In fact, it had taken over 2 months, as Thirsk knew perfectly well. "But we've undertaken a large-scale conversion program on existing merchant galleons. Work is well underway on the new ships now as well, and several of our original vessels are being altered on the waves. Duke Thurast," Fern nodded in Thurast's direction, "tells me the first of our converted galleons will be ready for service within the month, and that the first of our new galleons will be launching quite soon after that, although it will obviously take rather longer than that to get them rigged and ready for sea. When they are ready for sea, however, my lord, I intend to call upon you to command them."
"I'm honored, Your Grace," Thirsk said quietly. "May I ask, however, if I am to command them in King Ronald's service or in that of the Temple?"
"Does it matter?"
Thurast asked, his tone sharp, and Thirsk looked at him calmly. "In many ways, not at all, Your Grace," he replied. "If my impression of the number of ships to be manned is correct, however, we'll have no choice but to impress seamen. Just finding experienced officers is going to be extremely difficult, assuming it's possible at all, and our supply of experienced sailors may well be even more limited, relative to the numbers I'll require." Thurast's lips tightened. He seemed about to say something, then glanced at Fern and clearly changed his mind.
"Probably just as well I didn't point out that his idiot brother-in-law, Malachi, is one of the main reasons we're so short of sailors," the Earl reflected dryly. "Especially since he's done everything he could for the last 2 years to hang responsibility for that fiasco around my neck. And what Caleb's privateers have done to our merchant fleet, on his own watch, hasn't done one thing to help the shortage either. Not to mention considerably reducing the potential supply of those converted galleons Fern was just talking about."
"And your point is, my lord?"
Fern inquired, as if he were totally unaware of Thirsk's thoughts, which he most definitely was not.
"My point, Your Grace, is that it will make quite a bit of difference whether those seamen are being impressed by the Kingdom of Dolar or by Mother Church. While I realize no one likes to admit it, many of His Majesty's subjects have little or no compunction about avoiding the Navy's press gangs, and I regret to say that not a few of their fellow subjects have no compunction about helping them do it. Frankly, it would be unreasonable to expect anything else, I'm afraid, given the common seaman's lot aboard a ship of war. If, however, they're being impressed for service in Mother Church's name, I think it likely many who might otherwise attempt to avoid service will be more willing to come forward. Moreover, I believe it's even more likely that those who might otherwise assist the less enthusiastic in avoiding the press gangs are far less likely to do so if that would run counter to Mother Church's commands." Fern frowned thoughtfully. Although the First Counselor had never himself served at sea, he had risen to high rank in the Royal Army before turning to a political career. He understood the question Thirsk was really asking.
"I see your point, and it's well taken, my lord," the Duke conceded after several seconds. "Unfortunately, I can't answer it at this moment."
"May I speak frankly, Your Grace?"
"Of course, my lord."
Fern sat back in his chair slightly, his eyes narrowing, and Thirsk gave a small shrug.
"Your Grace, I realize Grand Vicar Eric has not yet chosen to decree holy war against Karras."
Thurast stiffened noticeably, but Fern only sat there, and Thirsk continued in the same calm voice.
Among ourselves, however, as the men who will be responsible for answering Mother Church's summons when it comes, a certain degree of bluntness is in order, I think. No one in the entire kingdom can possibly doubt why Mother Church is building such an enormous fleet. Given the Carizians' actions over the last couple of years, it's inevitable that Mother Church is going to move openly against Caleb and Charlion as soon as it's practicable to do so. I'm positive Caleb and Charlion realize that as well, unless all of their spies have been miraculously rendered deaf and blind. That being the case, I believe it would be better to acknowledge from the beginning exactly whom the ships and their crews will serve and why. Pretending otherwise will fool no one, yet may make it more difficult to get the ships manned. Under the circumstances, I would vastly prefer to be able to tell my officers and men what they will be called upon to do from the start. There was silence in the office for the better part of a minute. Even Therast looked more thoughtful than belligerent, for the moment at least. Finally, Fern nodded slowly.
"Again, I see your point, my lord," he said, "and I confess I'm inclined to agree with you. At the moment, however, I have no instructions from the Captain General or the Chancellor in this regard. Without such instructions, it would undoubtedly be premature, shall we say, to begin unilaterally declaring our belief that holy war is coming. That being the case, I don't believe we can authorize you to begin impressing men in Mother Church's name, not yet at least. But what I can do is ask Bishop Executor Arrain to consult with the Captain General by semaphore. I'll inform Vicar Elaine that I'm in agreement with you on this matter. I'm inclined to think that while the Grand Vicar may not wish to declare holy war quite this soon, Vicar Elaine, or the rest of the group of four, at least, the First Counselor carefully did not say aloud, will agree that it's self-evident the fleet is being raised in Mother Church's service.
Thank you, Your Grace, Thirsk murmured.
You're welcome.
Fern gave him a smile, which looked mostly genuine, then turned to other matters.
Something you may not be aware of, my lord, he said briskly, is that the Grand Inquisitor has personally ruled that the new artillery mountings do not constitute any infringement of the proscriptions. While I'm sure all of us could wish this point had been clarified sooner, all of our new artillery will be modified as it's cast to incorporate these trunnions. In addition, I've been informed that a technique has been devised for adding trunnions to existing guns. I'm scarcely an artisan myself, so the details of the process don't mean much to me, but I feel confident that an experienced sea officer like yourself will understand them. In addition, we'll be adopting the new sail plans, and I've been informed that our gunsmiths will soon be beginning construction of a new and improved musket as well. Taken all together, I believe this means...